a Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to our feature reports, including one from the walnut industry, I'll be checking in with national and regional agricultural news in today's show. And I'll get started with a look at regional ag news right after this.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit Phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
In regional agricultural news, Grub Market has announced it has completed the acquisition of Buenos Aires, Argentina-based Salix Fruits, a global fresh fruit importer and exporter with a wide portfolio of produce items ranging across apples, lemons, oranges, tangerines, pears, grapes, and more. The company has hundreds of growers in more than 20 countries and serves over 450 customers across 50 countries worldwide, including Argentina, Chile, Brazil, South Africa, Spain, India, and the U.S. The company is 10 years old. According to Produce IQ, asparagus prices are up 40% over the previous week as Mexico's largest grass-growing region, northwest of Sonora, winds down. It's not uncommon to see increases in prices this time of the year. In addition, Peruvian imports are ramping up, and they face higher costs of boat freight and logistics challenges. Supply may grow unusually thin as a surprise spring cold snap is delaying asparagus harvest in domestic growing regions. Washington enters the scene this time of the year, but production fills only a fraction of the country's demand. Michigan also typically harvests 20 million pounds of asparagus from early May to mid-June. In addition, a quickly approaching Mother's Day is ramping up demand, so we'll keep a close eye as prices may fluctuate significantly over the next 2 weeks. Avocado prices have skyrocketed recently. A toxic combination of reduced Holy Week harvest, disrupted product flow across the Texas border, and continued low yields sent prices up 9% to over $65 a case on a 60 count. Lime prices are showing some weakness. The range of freight on board prices is quite broad, as is the product quality. The border issues complicated fruit quality as some loads sat for extended days. Generally, sizes are small, and creative salespersons are encouraging a market for very small fruit, even a 300 count, which is just a bit larger than a key lime. Lime are following a similar playbook as other small fruit with trying consumers' bags. Strawberry prices are down another 23% over the previous week, and despite rain, it looks as though supply is strong. Overall, produce markets are beginning to hear the first rumors of summer, prices across the border stabilizing as more domestic growers come online and diversify centralized winter markets. In particular, watermelons are always a pleasantly nostalgic reminder that summer is nearer than we think. Although still at a 10-year high, watermelon prices are descending thanks to increasing supply from Sonora, Mexico, and sunny South Florida. Expect light volatility over the next few weeks as markets heat up. Watermelon harvesting regions vary widely across the U.S. for the spring and summer crops, and they can often be found locally. Port of Oakland's new temporary container yard is getting federal help in a form of financial relief for its customers. The USDA is providing agricultural and other exporters assistance in covering expenses for using the pop-up yard. The temporary container yard opened on March 7th as part of the Biden administration's larger program to relieve port congestion. The USDA is offering a $400 incentive per export reefer and a $200 incentive for a dry container. This funding is for the temporary staging of loaded export containers. In addition, the USDA is offering a $125 incentive to pick up an empty dry container used for agricultural bookings. This will help defray the additional costs incurred by shippers and make usage of the new facility more feasible, according to Port of Oakland Maritime Director Brian Brandis. He says the temporary yard provides a place for truckers to easily pick up empty containers to be loaded with U.S. exports and allows for staging loaded containers ready to be shipped overseas without crowding busy terminals. California Giant Berry Farms, a leader in fresh, sustainable berries, is forecasting for giant volumes of organic and conventionally grown strawberries ahead, just in time for National Strawberry Months. The company reports its growing partners are on track to deliver peak promotable volumes of California strawberries led by its Santa Maria, Watsonville, and Salinas growing regions. With the company's Oxnard program adding supplemental volume going through mid-May, peak volumes of conventional and organic strawberries from Santa Maria are slated to arrive in time for Mother's Day, with the Watsonville and Salinas growing ramping up to deliver volume peaks in late May, ideal for Memorial Day celebrations. Demand for strawberries has been surging, according to data from IRI FreshLook, with retail dollar sales of strawberries up 14.9% from a year ago. To support the expected influx of strawberries, California Giant will employ a consumer engagement sweepstakes to build brand awareness, drive purchase intent for fresh berries, and share the health benefits the strawberries deliver.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
Increasing consumer understanding of health benefits for agricultural commodities is one of the best ways to increase demand, especially in the post-pandemic era where the increased health consciousness seen in 2020 and 2021 has continued to roll over. For walnuts, communicating health benefits of the tree nut are especially important as they're one of the most heart-healthy foods available. Tree nuts are generally seen as healthy regardless of whether specific benefits are known by the consumer. So why is the industry researching these specifics in the first place?
We want to increase knowledge about the nutritional benefits of foods like walnuts, and we want to be able to share that information and make people more aware.
That was Carol Sloan, who's a health research consultant for the California Walnut Board and Commission. Once you really get down into the nitty-gritty of health benefits in walnuts, you tend to start seeing words like polyunsaturated fats and omega-3 fatty acids, which might not be 100% legible to the average consumer. The industry makes these benefits more legible through health research.
As a registered dietitian, people say, I'm not going to the store to buy omega-3s or unsaturated fat. They want to know, like, what exact foods can I buy? And as we all know, walnuts are an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids, which have been shown through research to help decrease risk for chronic illness. For example, heart disease, even delay onset of cognitive decline as we get older. So as a dietitian, if I can say to a client, you know, go to the produce section, buy some spinach, buy some mushrooms, buy some walnuts, buy some strawberries, make a great salad, and that will help decrease risk. And that's really what it's all about. People want tangible evidence and ideas of how they can eat healthier.
The walnut industry started in the area of heart disease and has since moved into other facets of health.
We have a huge portfolio now of health research, from looking at diabetes or prediabetes all the way to decreasing risk for breast cancer or colon cancer. And so we continue to evolve, and the health research portfolio, as I've mentioned, has grown, and you need to keep up with the science. There's a dietary guidelines committee that asks for new research every 5 years. We have to be able to provide that research. So I'm so thankful that our industry understands that and sees that and continues to support health research.
Recent studies have been able to well demonstrate the impact of walnuts on various aspects of heart health. New findings published in the online journal Heart analyzed the impact of a traditional Mediterranean diet, Green Mediterranean diet, and Healthy United States diet on LDL cholesterol, weight, and insulin resistance. Both Mediterranean diets included a daily serving of walnuts. A study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology looked at regular consumption of foods rich in marine or plant-based omega-3s and risk of death among individuals who have suffered a heart attack. Walnuts are the only nut with an excellent source of plant-based omega-3 ALA. And another recent study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology explored regular consumption of walnuts and anti-inflammatory effects. Chronic inflammation caused by factors such as poor diet, obesity, stress, and high blood pressure is damaging and a factor associated with heart disease risk. Additionally,
we do research to see what types of health topics are top of mind for consumers. And one area that's come up in the last few years is microbiome or gut health. And obviously anything you eat is going to change the diversity of your gut. But what are the benefits that it can lead to in terms of decreasing any type of illness. And so we're spending some monies now looking at walnuts as related to improving gut health.
This segment was sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, working together to advance the industry. Together, we can do more.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
In national agricultural news, food prices are going up faster and farther than expected. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
Back in January, Agriculture Department economist Matt McLaughlin was forecasting retail food price inflation this year would only run
between 1.5 and 2.5%.
But that projection of 4 months ago is, as we say, out the window. Should have opened the window first, I guess. Anyway, Matt, your latest forecast for food prices?
We're looking at price increases between 5 and 6%.
A far cry from what he was expecting earlier in the year, but it's not his fault. A lot of stuff has happened over the last few months.
We have somewhere in the double digits of gasoline and other fuel price increases. The conflict going on in Ukraine, which is contributing to higher wheat, higher flour, and higher downstream prices. We have an outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza, but that specifically affects the prices of poultry meat and eggs.
Plus, labor costs are up everywhere, so when will we get some food price inflation relief? Matt's only answer now.
Down the road.
No way to know how far down the road. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The Ukraine-Russia war has reignited speculation that globalization is coming to an end and markets should prepare to turn inward to deal with disrupted supply lines and geopolitical challenges. The war will undoubtedly have long-lasting implications. However, according to a new quarterly report from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange, an unwinding of global supply chains and world markets is unlikely to be one of them. Still, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has agitated global trade and contributed to unprecedented price volatility in agricultural crops. Prices for major fertilizers increased between 8% and 13% during the first quarter of 2022, with the biggest spikes coming after Russia invaded Ukraine. While most U.S. ag retailers have adequate nutrient supplies this spring, the report says that may or may not be the case this fall and in the spring of 2023. A U.S. District Court has approved a consent decree agreement between Growth Energy and the Environmental Protection Agency that requires EPA to finalize its 2020 to 2022 renewable volume obligations no later than June 3rd. The consent decree follows Growth Energy's multiple notices of intent to sue and a complaint in federal district court in response to the agency's extended delay in issuing the RVOs. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says they are encouraged by EPA's commitment to this deadline as it gives more credence to the agency's stated intention to get the RFS back on track. In December, Growth Energy submitted a notice of intent to sue regarding EPA's failure to timely fulfill the agency's statutory obligation under the RFS to issue the 2022 RVO and, in turn, the potentially multi-year set rulemaking process for renewable fuel volumes for 2023 and beyond. The RVOs for 2022 were due by November 30th of 2021, an annual deadline set by Congress. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall has commented on the final Phase 1 revisions to the National Environmental Policy Act. He says AFBF is disappointed that the Biden administration has decided to reverse common sense reforms to the National Environmental Policy Act. Farmers and ranchers share the goal of caring for the natural resources they've been entrusted with, and were pleased that the updated 2020 regulations allowed them to protect the environment while meeting the demands of a growing nation. Continued challenges from the pandemic, supply chain issues, and the drought in the West are impacting farmers, ranchers, and the American public in the form of increased food and fuel prices. The situation will now be made worse by the return to a slow and cumbersome NEPA review process that in many cases takes years to complete. President Biden has also made improving the nation's infrastructure a priority, and a modernized NEPA review process would help deliver projects to communities across the country. Safe roads, waterways, and railways, and expanded rural broadband access are crucial to the success of rural America. Those, too, are now at risk because of outdated regulations. Duvall says they are urging the Biden administration to stop moving backward and keep focused on working with producers to advance sound, science-based, and practical conservation goals that protect resources while creating opportunities for agriculture as well as every other sector of the economy. The Surface Transportation Board has scheduled a public hearing on recent rail service problems and recovery efforts involving Class 1 carriers. The board has directed executive-level officials, including operating and human resource officials of BNSF Railway Company, CSX Transportation Incorporated, Norfolk Southern Railway Company, and Union Pacific Railroad Company to appear in person at the board's headquarters in Washington, D.C. This is in response to shippers who have complained about poor rail service for the last 5 months. They're trying to ship things like livestock, fertilizer, food and beverage, and coal. Nearly a month since China imposed travel restrictions due to COVID-19, an estimated 400 million Chinese people, roughly the size of the U.S. population, remain in lockdown. While China grapples with choosing which production lines to reopen, the food shortage conversation is ramping up. China is not moving food from ports into the interior for that huge number of people in lockdown, setting a stage for a food shortage conversation within the next few days. It could have an impact on potential decisions made going forward in Washington, D.C. Jim Wiesemeyer, pro-farmer policy analyst, noted China's production forecasts have not seen any big changes despite the lockdown. He said China came out with their GDP first quarter number, and it is at 4.8% this week, which was a little higher than the trade thought, but below their so-called goal of 5.5%. He suspects the downturn is going to continue.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Strong strawberry demand has seen increases in strawberry planting in the last year. A new report from the Rabo Research Group states that demand for strawberries is strong, and that despite increased availability, strawberry prices may stay high. David Magana is a senior analyst of the California fruit and nut industry at the Rabobank Rabo Research Group.
So strawberry consumption in the U.S. is a little bit high, more than 6 pounds per person per year, and the consumption has been steadily increasing over the last decade. However, the growth is not being as fast in strawberries compared to the consumption growth in other berries, such as blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries. However, in terms of volume, it is still the largest berries. The demand drivers that have been relevant for years are the combination of healthfulness, convenience, and taste. And particularly for the last 2 years, those demand drivers have become even more relevant. So that is consuming the U.S. If you compare the little bit more than 6 pounds in strawberries versus about 2.5 pounds for blueberries, whereas for cane berries, there are raspberries and blackberries, the consumption is lower than that. Particularly a year ago, we observed multi-year high prices for all berries, and that was mostly demand-driven, as COVID-related restrictions were lifted in many places. Consumers were going to the store on a more frequent basis, and keep in mind that impulse buying is a relevant proportion of purchases for fresh berries. So the more frequent the buyers go to the store, the more likely is that they will end up buying berries, even if they were not in the shopping list. Well, snacking at home is become increasingly relevant, obviously, for the last couple of years, and some of those trends will be permanent as many of us continue to work remotely. So you have more snacking at home, and not only for fresh strawberries, but also for frozen, what we call the smoothie effect.
Through the beginning of the year, consumers have been returning to strawberries as a fruit of choice despite inflationary pressures.
We've seen that consumers are buying less of some of the fresh produce, given that the high levels of inflation are eroding consumer purchasing power. But the good news for berries is that still, in terms of volume and in terms of value, it is one of the categories in the produce space where we've seen the largest increase year on year at retail level. So retail berry sales continue to be elevated compared to last year and also compared to pre-pandemic levels. So that's one positive aspect that the demand continues to be strong.
The growing demand has seen prices rise over the course of the last year, providing an opportunity for more growers.
That has been incentivizing more plantings. And specifically in California, the plantings for the current season are up about 6% year on year and is the highest in the last 6 years. So we're expecting, given this increase in acreage in California, that availability will be higher this year compared to last. And also shipments from Mexico have been still present during this time of the year. Whereas in previous years, we've seen that Mexico was present mainly during the winter, but now they've been planting in different regions and they are also extending their season. So overall, if you see the availability in the US market year to date, calendar year, I mean, is the shipments are almost 20% higher compared to last year. And prices have been slightly lower compared to last year, but not that much. So this is telling you that the market has been absorbing larger volumes of strawberries and prices have not been impacted in a significant way.
As for a longer term look at supply, Magaña believes there are a few important factors which could cause issues with supply in the future.
Now we are also facing new challenges that were not present in the last couple of years. And that is mainly inflationary pressures on the supply side. So now growers are facing increased production cost on the input cost, like fertilizer and other ag chemicals. And labor has been a challenge for years.
One possible solution for issues with labor shortages in the long term is controlled environment agriculture, including technology like vertical farming, which could lead to much more automated cultivation of crops like strawberries. But Magaña believes these techniques will not be relevant to the strawberry market in the short term.
And we've seen big names already involved in some of the investments in vertical farming and in other type of controlled environment agriculture. That will be a source of innovation. However, that will remain a niche market in the next few years.
For My Ag Life Daily News Report, I'm Patrick Connor.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.